Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club. My name's Sam Hart, stepping in for Bruce Millington for the final postcast of the year. Bruce will be back in the new year, I'm sure. This week, we're going to be looking at New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We've got Newbury and Cheltenham. We have plenty of good action since Christmas from the likes of Kempton, Chepstow, Leopardstown, Limerick. There's been plenty of good action. I'm joined today by Stuart Riley and Graham Rodway. Stuart, how have you enjoyed the Christmas period? Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, I had a lovely Christmas, thank you. It was my son's first Christmas, so it was all very exciting.
Lovely stuff. And have you, I mean, you obviously tuned in for plenty of the racing. Has any horse really kind of caught the eye, or a horse that you've been mightily impressed with?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fantastic Christmas period, hasn't it? Obviously, you know, I think we all had our eyes knocked out by Constitution Hill. He looks exceptional from a Cheltenham perspective. If I was having a bet now, I've been taken by Home by the Lee this season. I think he's just one of those horses who's in a rich vein of form. He's beaten most of what's going to turn up against him at Cheltenham, and you get this in the Stayers Hurdle where you have these horses that have a really strong campaign and go all the way through the year. And he might just be that horse this year in what is otherwise a wide open race.
Yeah, Home by the Lee, come right from under the radar, won the Jack de Romhead Christmas Hurdle yesterday. Graham Rodway, great to have you on. Did you have a good Christmas, and are you up or down so far since the Christmas period?
Yeah, hi Sam, how you doing? Yeah, it's been a great Christmas. Yeah, it's been really, it's been really nice actually. I've been in my new house, and the kids really enjoyed it, and we had a lot of people over, so it was great. From a punting perspective, it's been an absolute nightmare. I think I got beaten by the punters to 2 days out of three. I mean, the luckiest ever win for Ed Chamberlain you're going to see on Boxing Day. I couldn't believe it. I had a 14-1 shot beating a short Ed, and then he did me on a non-runner. He had five losers and one non-runner. So I think I've had 8 seconds out of 18 tips on that. So you can't get more of second-itis than that. But there's one good thing about second-itis, Sam, I always think, and that is that it usually means that you're about to hit a red hot run of form, and suddenly all those seconds will often turn into winners. So I'm praying that that's what's going to happen as we go into the new year, Sam. What better way to start 2023 than with a G-Rod hot streak?
Yeah, well, let's hope we get the G-Rod hot streak coming up this weekend. Let's get straight into it. Newbury is where we start. Four races we're going to be looking at, and we start off with the 1:15 there, which is the Coral First for Horse Racing Handicap Chase over 2 miles. And the betting looks like this. Only Money and Gamma Ray are the 7-2 joint favourites. Gallic Geordie 9-2. Casa Tool is 9-1. Phil Alico's 10-1, along with Mongol Emperor, and 12-1 bar these. Now, Stu, before we actually came on air, you said that you hadn't had a good look at the betting, but you had narrowed the race down to 2 horses. I then gave you the betting, and you found out that they were the top 2 in the market. Who do you fancy out of the 2?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Of the 2 at the prices, I'm going to have to go for Only Money, simply because he's got a massive experience edge on Gamma Ray. He's had 10 chase starts and 4 wins, whereas Gamma Ray's making his chasing debut here. It's in that sense, it is interesting. Venetia's throwing him in here. He's a 6-year-old. He's only had 2 runs over hurdles. Comes in here off a mark of 1:15, and you sort of get the impression that they think he might be a fair bit better than that. And he may well be, but also he's never jumped a fence in a race. And at those prices, I'm probably going to side with Only Money. He chased home Amarillo Sky over course and distance at the Coral Gold Cup meeting, it was. And you know, I mean, he was 14 lengths adrift that day, but it was a very good run. And yeah, I think he's the one they've all got to beat.
Okay, Only Money for Stuart Riley there. G-Rod, who do you like in the postcast opener?
I like Gallic Geordie. I put this horse up in the paper about last week, I think it was, when it ran at Lingfield. I think it was my first 3-point maximum tip of the whole year. And like many things, the way things have been going for me recently, as I just said, Sam, it was travelling quite nicely coming to the second last, and then slipped and fell just after the the fence. I'm not sure he would have beaten the winner Fast Buck, because Fast Buck was clear and ran on strongly, but he was certainly travelling like he had a chance of shaking him up. He's a course and distance winner at Newbury, likes testing ground, and I think if he can reproduce the form that he showed on his previous start again at Lingfield, then he's got a huge chance. So I'm with Gallic Geordie to make amends for letting me down for my first maximum tip of the year.
There we go. Gallic Geordie, 9-2 for Graham Robway in the 115 from Newbury. Moving on to the 150 then, which is the Coral Bet Bundles Handicap Hurdle, Class 2 event over 2.5 miles. Betting is currently looking like this. Picard is the 5-1 favourite. Lady Adair, 13-2. Black Poppy is 7-1. Blenkinsop is 9-1. We're looking at double figures bar these. A nice open-looking race to get stuck into here. G-Rod, who do you like?
Yeah, I thought it was a wide open race, and I thought Soaring Glory was worth a go for Jonjo O'Neill. Obviously ran one of his best races at this track when he won the Betfair Hurdle in 2021. That was turned out to be quite a strong race because the third was Edward Stone, and the fifth was Buzz, and the sixth was Guard Your Dreams. They all came out, obviously, went on to win graded races, and Edward Stone is obviously a top-class chaser now. Sort of lost his way a little bit since then, but he was competing in top company last year. He was third behind Epitant in the Christmas Hurdle, fifth in the Betfair Hurdle again at the track, not beaten far. He obviously likes Newbury, and I think he handles soft ground. He's dropped in the weights. He was rated 149 at the peak. He's 145 now. Just think that he's got the course form that that'll do it for me. And Soaring Glory, he's over 2.5 here. I think he might be suited by the longer trip as well.
Okay, Soaring Glory, former Betfair hurdler, like G-Rod just said. Jonjo O'Neill Jr. takes the ride. He had a fantastic day on Welsh National Day at Chepstow. Stuart, I mean, the favourite here, Picard, the Skeletons, a lot would be questioning the form of the Skeleton horses at this moment in time. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I think Picard is an interesting horse. He ran a really good race, I thought, at Chepstow last time, and he was entered up in the Jerry Fielden, and then they missed that. I think he was a non-runner on the day. They come here, and obviously it's slightly further, but that shouldn't be an issue. The one that I would oppose him with is Lady Adair, Harry Fry's mare. She was towards the top of the anti-post market for a lot of last season for the Mayor's Novices Hurdle at the festival, and obviously Harry went and won that with Love Envoy. Lady Adair obviously missed the festival through a setback. She comes here unbeaten, and I think there's a lot of room in her mark of 130. So she's my selection in the race.
Okay, Lady Adair, the unbeaten Lady Adair, 13-2 in the 150 for Stuart Riley. Let's go on to the 225 now, which is the 3.25 mile Coral Racing Club Mandarin Handicap Chase. And the betting is currently looking like this. Benicia Williams, Laskalin is 6-1. Foxborough, 13-2. Tallow for Cole, 7-1. Under Supervision, 9-1. Shanty Alley, 10-1. 11-1 about Balshida and Certainly Red, and 12-1. Bar these. Another open-looking contest. Stuart, who are you with?
Yeah, it is an open-looking contest, and I can see the case for Laskalin. Obviously, Venetia is very good with these progressive types. The horse that I'm drawn to is the Nigel Twiston Davis horse, Under Supervision. I like the price. Obviously, he's in off 12-1. It's a lot of weight to carry, but equally, he looks absolutely made for a test like this, and he is the class horse in the race, so I'll be siding with him.
Okay, Under Supervision for Stu there. G-Rod, who do you like in this one?
Our fancy Champagne Colt, Sam. He's got what they call an OXO profile at the moment, which is like a win and then a blowout and then a win and then a blowout. And then hopefully he wins, because he blew out last time. But previously, he'd won nicely at the track in a handicap hurdle here. And I think that he's obviously been lined up for this Mandarin Chase. This is the sort of race that trainers target, isn't it, over Christmas. He's only £2 higher than he's when he won over hurdles, but I think he's a better chaser. It just caught my eye that Jeremy Scott has booked Harry Skelton to ride. They are 2-4-7, I think, when teaming up in the last five seasons. So he doesn't go and grab Skelton too often. I just think that maybe this has been the target for a little while, especially the fact that he sort of brought him back over hurdles at the track to give him a little bit of a almost like a trial. You know, in dogs, they give him like a trial around the track, don't they? You know, yeah. I just wonder sometimes in horse racing, trainers do the same. So Champagne Court.
Okay, a lovely price there. 18-1 about Champagne Court for G-Rod. Let's go on to the highlight there at Newbury then. It's the 3 o'clock. It's the Coral Challow Novices Hurdle. Grade one event over 2.5 miles. And Hermes Allen is 11-8 favourite here. Joya Machen 8-1. Attica 10-1. Vicky Vale 12-1. Crambo is 14-1. 16-1 bar these. G-Rod, it's our first hot favourite of the postcard. Should this one be winning?
Yeah, a difficult race, isn't it, to call, because he absolutely bolted up Cheltenham, looked brilliant, but beat absolutely nothing, didn't he? I mean, it was a very disappointing race, I think, probably not the strongest. However, of course, this is Nichols's race, isn't it? And we've already seen this week with Braves Man's Game that once Nichols sets his sights on winning a race, he's very difficult to beat, isn't he? The problem is, of course, is the price. I just wondered if he was worth taking on. Joyo Machen?
Yeah, Joyo Machen. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, like machine, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that. I just thought that Paul Nolan's running. He doesn't send many over here to Britain. In years gone by, it was always a big tip in themselves when Paul Nolan would bring one over. I think he's had one winner from 17 in Britain in the last five seasons, but six of those have been placed, so a lot of them have run very well. And was very impressive when winning at Fairy House last time in quite a good time. The top fee figure was 120, which is only £3 off of what Hermes Allen did in winning a Grade 2 at Cheltenham, which tells you a lot, I guess, about the strength of maiden hurdles in Ireland. You know, I just looking at the odds, I can't understand why he's 8-1 and Hermes Allen is 11-8. So Joyo Machen.
Yeah, Joy Machen for Giro. There's a fair jump there in the betting, isn't there? 11-8 all the way up to 8-1 there. So potentially a decent each way shout there. Stu, I saw Lee Mothstead tweet this morning out saying how wonderfully refreshing to see 14 horses declared for a British Grade 1 novice hurdle. He said the Challow hurdle also looks strong in quality as well as quantity. You can't help but agree there.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting looking race, although I don't see it anything like as complicated as G-Rod does. I think Hermes Allen wins and wins well. I think he's just a really classy horse. I think the easiest way I can sum it up is he's 10-1 for the Ballymore. Best price. He's as short as 8 in places. Joya Matin is not quoted. So
he will be after this, Joey. He will be after this, mate.
Possibly. I think he's one of those. I think he's. I think Hermes Allen's a really good horse. He's odds on in places for this. I'm surprised by the 11-8. I thought he would be shorter. The one that interests me at a bigger price, if you're looking for an each way play, is the Twist and Davis horse, Hidalgo Bihu, 16-1. I was very impressed with the way he won on his hurdling debut at Worcester. Again, obviously has beaten very little at this stage, it looks like, but won by 14 lengths and could have been further. So if I was playing one at a big price or a bigger price, it would be him. But yeah, I think this race is quite simple and the favourite just wins. And to be very honest, I think he should be a lot shorter.
Hermes Allen, Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden team up. They've teamed up the last 2 years to win this race with Stage Star last year. And the season before with Brave Man's Game. Some good horses. Look, Brave Man's Game, like I say, King George winner won this back in 2020. Time Hill, that horse won it in 2019. Champ won it in 2018. Some good horses have won this. Could we see another one in Hermes Allen on New Year's Eve. That's Newbury out the way. New Year's Day comes next.
The world's number one horse racing app just got better. Download the brand new Racing Post app for free to experience our new game-changing odds comparison, exclusive daily big name tipping, and unrivaled app-only content. Head to the App Store to download it and get started.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club with Sam Hart, Stuart Riley and Graham Robway. Focus all onto 2023 now. We head to Cheltenham for four races, and the 120 is where we start with the Paddy Power Novices Chase. Over 2.5 miles, this is registered as the Dipper Novices Chase. A Grade 2 event, and Monmorel is your 6-4 favourite. Thunder Rock, 15-8. Then we have a jump up to Beauport at 8-1, along with Bold Endeavour. Harper's Brook, 12-1 with The Real Wacker, 25-1 about Unexpected Party. Kisses for Katie, 33-1, and Mortlach is 50-1. G-Rod, the first tip you're probably going to put out for 2023, who do you like?
Yeah, it's a very difficult race, isn't it? Because I do really like John Bon, and Monmorel was obviously second to him at Warwick in a very good time, and he was a... Well, I suppose you could argue he was a Grade 1 hurdler. He was a Grade 1 juvenile hurdler anyway. He was obviously fresh by Epatant last season over 2.5 at Aintree. There's always that in the just the back of your mind. Is he really a Cheltenham horse, isn't there? Because obviously he did a lot of his best form at Aintree, which is a flat left-handed track and entirely different to Cheltenham. And he's quite a short price, isn't he? So I would be inclined to take him on with Thunder Rock, who looks just very good for Ollie Murphy. He's absolutely flying, isn't he, Ollie Murphy? I think he had a treble at Market Raisin the other day, and he's had a bunch of winners over Christmas. And I thought that Solo gave the form a fair enough boost when he ran quite well in that red hot handicap at yep. Kempton on Boxing Day, and Thunder Rock absolutely thrashed him at Ascot. I think that was quite a smart performance from Thunder Rock to beat Solo so easily. They're both quite short in the market, which is not really enticing, but yeah, of the two, 6-4 Monmorel at the moment, 15-8 Thunder Rock. I would rather have the 15-8 Thunder Rock.
Okay, 15-8 Thunder Rock for G-Rod. Stuart, like G-Rod's just said, Monmorel last seen finishing second behind John Bond. Do you like that, or are you with G-Rod taking it on with Thunder Rock?
I probably would side with Monmorel of the two of them. You know, I'm initially looking at the prices, I was looking to take them on. Beauport and The Real Wacker are both horses that I like. The problem with the conditions of this race is they're giving weight to the two what you'd call better horses in the market, and I also have my eye on them for handicaps at the festival, so I could do with them not going and winning here and completely destroying a mark. But you know, if that happens, that happens. Of the two, I've sort of had the same discussion that G-Rod's had, but I've actually come down on the side of Monmorel, and the reason for it was quite simple. I just thought if you put Thunder Rock in against John Bon, there's absolutely no way you'd be an 11-4 shot. Even if you take that back to November and put it at that time of year before John Bon had done quite what he's done and impressed us so much. So yeah, I just thought, you know, Monmorel probably just brings a big class edge. I do like what I've seen from Thunder Rock this season. He does look exciting, but equally Monmorel jumped very well behind John Bon, and I think of the two, I'd probably side with him, but it's probably a race I'm going to watch rather than have a bet in, if I'm honest.
Okay, perfect. A watching brief for Stu there. Let's move on to the 155, then the 2.5 mile Paddy Power New Year's Day Handicap Chase, a Class 1 event. And Midnight River is the 7-2 favourite. Il Redotto, 5-1. Amarillo Sky, 7-1. 8-1 about Brave Siaska, Fugitive and Shake 'Em Up Harry, along with Stolen Silver, 8-1, and Double Figures. But these, and Stu, I'll start with you. Amarillo Sky, this horse here, 2 from 2 this season, made all at Cheltenham last time he was here. Could he be doing the same again?
He's an interesting one. He's definitely talented. What caught my eye is Joe Tizard has two in entered. He also has Warlord in, and Brendan Powell's jocked up on both of them. So my conclusion from that would be they might not both be running. But yeah, I can make the case for Amarillo Sky. He's definitely progressive. The horse I think this race may end up revolving round at the head of the market is Fugitive. Obviously, he won well the other day at Chepstow. If he's turned out again quickly under a penalty, I suspect he will assume favouritism because he was very impressive the other day. But I was looking at this race and it's kind of become a very weird version of this race, because it is a sort of race that people will target with horses. But the problem is we have completely the opposite ground that you would expect for the New Year's Day meeting at Cheltenham. It's currently good. It might go good to soft, but it isn't going to be the sort of soft heavy that you might be expecting and you might be looking at for a horse that you'd be targeting at this race. So I'm kind of looking at this more as a more at the spring horses. And there's one horse that, you know, I like Warlord, as I mentioned, but the horse that's really caught my eye is the Philip Hobbs train, Celebre Dale N. Obviously he'll turn 11 the morning of the race, but he was a 4-1 shot for the plate at the Cheltenham Festival. Obviously it was soft ground that day. He does like a bit of cut, but he's fine on a good to soft surface. And yeah, I think he's £3 lower than he was there, facing a far less competitive field. He ran a great race that day. I mean, he finished fifth. He was behind Cool Cody. And yeah, I just think he's gone under the radar massively here at 20-1.
Okay, yeah, Slipped down. Look at that, 20-1. Yeah, and you're probably going to get extra places on the day as well. G-Rod, I mentioned earlier about the Skelton horses. Now, Skelton horses, they're going at 21% strike rate down Skelton at the moment, but I can't help but notice that a few looked a little bit flat over the last few days. Does that put you off at all when it comes to betting on races like this?
No, I wouldn't be too worried, Sam. Yeah, I know what you mean, but he had a couple of winners. He had a winner at Leicester called Playful Saint that won quite well, and yeah, I mean, they're not absolutely winging along, are they? But they're not running dismally either. But, you know, he is quite a short price, isn't he, here? So, you know, that would be a slight concern for me in a very, very competitive race. I like a couple of bigger odds. Simply the Bets. He is going to win one of these, I think, as long as Maxwell can get it right. You know, this is the problem, isn't it? I mean, I love him, don't get me wrong. He's a great fella, isn't he? And he's great for the game. But, you know, when I'm punting, it has to be taken into consideration whether Magic Maxi can get this horse round and win a big handicap like this against the pros. I mean, I hope he can. The horse is really well handicapped. He was second in this race last year, this year, you know, last year, once we turn the year behind Vienna Colt, he's £4 lower than when he was second in it last year. I think he'd have a slightly better chance if the ground was soft, but he has got form on good and he loves this new course, 2.5 miles. He's got loads of form over it. I think he'll run well. I think he needed the run when he was seventh behind Garlaw. First time out. The other one that I'm going to back again at a good price, and another horse that I'm convinced is going to win one of these Cheltenham 2.5 mile handicaps, because they all turn up, don't they? The same horses every month. There's one in November, one in December, and then this one, and then I think there's one at the next meeting. Then there's the plate. Dayran de Karjak was fifth behind Garlaw at Cheltenham, just ahead of Simply the Bets. Now, he does like good ground, and he's starting to look well handicapped. He's back down to 128, and he ran his best race for a long time behind Garlaw, RPR 134. He's got that sort of declining in the handicap, but actually, if you look at his performances, he's actually getting slightly better, and he looks like he's building up to a big run, and he definitely wants this ground. So they're my two against the field. They're both 20-1. Dayran de Karjak, probably slightly fancied if you had to pick one out of the two, just because I know we're probably going to get a proper jockey on him, and a Maxi on the Simply the Bets. I love it if he can do it. I'll back him. I'm not sure he can do it, but I love it if he can do it.
There we go. 3 20-1 shots given by both G-Rod and Stuart there. Hopefully they could run some decent races, and wouldn't it be great to see David Maxwell win a race like that? We'll have to wait and see on New Year's Day. Let's move on then to the 2:30 at Cheltenham, which looks an absolute belter, which is the Real Kill Hurdle, a grade 2 over 2.5 mile. Marie's Rock, 11-4 favourite, the Mayor's Hurdle winner I like to move at the Greatwood Hurdle winner 100-30, Elite Hurdle winner Napa's Hill 4-1, First Street Runner won a really good handicap hurdle at Newbury, he's 5-1, Dashiell Drasher, course and distance winner 15-2, Brewing Up a Storm last seen behind Goshen at 8-1, Botox has at 10-1, he won a good handicap hurdle at Haydock, and we're looking at bigger about the other three. G-Rod, there's no doubt this could be a really good race, and we've got plenty of horses, you know, you could make a case for winning this race.
Yeah, the great thing about having Constitution Hill in the 2 mile division is that every other horse's connections are now looking elsewhere for chances where they might be able to win races where Constitution Hill might not turn up, aren't they? I mean, we've already seen it in Ireland this week in that 3 mile Jack de Bromhead Christmas hurdle was like one of the best 3 mile staying hurdles you've seen all season, because we had obviously all the top class 3 milers, but we also had some of the 2 milers like Zanna here and other horses who might well have carried on trying to contest the champion, or suddenly going, well, we're not going to get anywhere near this flying machine Constitution Hill, let's try a hand and see if we stay a bit further. And that's exactly what's happening here in this Real Kill hurdle. I mean, usually a very, very disappointing race with a small field, but because Constitution Hill is in that 2 mile division, you've now got trainers like Nigel Twist and Davis going, well, there's no point trying to, you know, turn I Like to move it into a champion hurdle horse. Let's see if we can go up and trip them and get him to stay 2.5. I'm sure Paul Nichols is thinking the same with Napa's Hill, and Nicky Henderson the same with First Street. I'm not sure you would have seen these horses running in this race if there was no Constitution Hill in the 2 mile division. But obviously now that Constitution Hill's here, they're all got to go up in trip and try and find races that they can win. And I think it's an absolutely fantastic race. I can't wait to see this one. I don't fancy the favourite, Marie's Rock. She's obviously very good against mares, but it's a bit different coming in against the geldings. I thought the race was between I Like to Move It and First Street, the two improvers in the race. And it just depends on how much I Like to Move It improves for the step up to 2.5. I think that he will improve, but I'm certain that First Street will improve for 2.5, because he stayed on very, very strongly behind State Man last year in the county hurdle. He was giving State Man a pound that day, and he was closing on him all the way to the line off a very strong gallop. And I thought to myself, he would definitely improve when he got 2.5. And of course, he's come out this year, won nicely first time out at Newbury. Now he's going 2.5 around the same track, same course and distance in which he finished, not distance, same course in which he finished second behind State Man last year. I think that he's the one First Street, but it wouldn't entirely surprise me if I Like to Move It beat him. But yeah, maybe I'll play the full cast, Sam. First Street and I Like to Move It. But First Street will be my first choice.
There we go. Okay, yeah, First Street. Yeah, the form of that handicap hurdle has worked out to be pretty good. I was at Fontwell on Boxing Day seeing York Sioux finish fourth by quite a long distance in that race. He won an impressive style, and unfortunately we didn't get to see Teddy Blue on the day. He got withdrawn on the day, but I'm sure that horse is ready to win as well. Stuart, who do you like in this? It is a cracker, isn't it?
It's a brilliant race, as G-Rod has touched on. It's also, I find, very interesting, because I think I'm going to add Napa's Hill to the list of progressive young horses and say there's three of them. I Like to Move It, Napa's Hill and First Street all stepping up in trip. You've Marie's Rock, who very much is at home at this sort of trip. But my question mark with her, I do think she's up to taking on the boys. I think she's a very good horse, but I am worried about her first time up. She doesn't have the best record fresh, and I think she may take a race or two to warm up, and this is hot. So I do want to take her on. You're looking at those three progressive young horses, and I can make a case for all three of them. The other thing I think as well is I can make a case for at least two of the three improving for the step up in trip. I Like to Move It is the horse I think may actually be more of a 2 miler. I think Nigel has said he sees him more as a going down the champion hurdle route after this than the stayers. And the thing I'd say about this race, if you take last year's winning time for Stormy Island, it was a minute and 20 seconds slower than I Like to Move It's time for the Greatwood. That's an awful lot more galloping that they have to do. And I think at these intermediate trips, you want a horse with a proven bit of stamina on his side. The likes of Napa's Hill and First Street, I agree with G-Rod, they may well thrive for the step up in trip. But Brewing Up a Storm, is a horse that we know loves this trip. He was bang there when falling at the last in this race last year. You'd argue he should have won it. He had a really strong campaign last year, and then it all just went a bit south towards the end of the year, or the end of the season, sorry. It's just a price thing at 8-1. I think he's probably the most proven under these conditions. And if there's, you know, any of the young horses can improve past him, of course they can, but I think he is the one that they need to get past. And at 8-1, I want him on side.
Okay, Bruno Storm at 8-1 for Stuart there, First Street. And I like to move it for G-Rod. We move on to the 305 here. This is the race we don't currently have the betting for. We'll see if any of the horses strike interest for the lads here. Paddy Power Handicap Hurdle, 3 miles, Class 2 event. Likes of Thomas Darby, Botox has Call Me Lord, Dolphin Square. On the blind side, Brinkley, Wild About Oscar, Walking On Air. We've got some good horses entered in this race. We'll have to wait and see who actually gets entered. But surely, if there was one at the moment that you'd look at going, look, I hope this would be a decent price, who would it be?
Yeah, if I had to pick one at this stage, it would probably be the Warren Greatrex horse, a Buffalo Soldier. He ran a really, really good race at Newbury last time where he beat the Nicky Henderson horse, Steel of March. Steel of March obviously went and won the other day at Wincanton, giving that form a boost. And a Buffalo Soldier is only on a mark of 127. So if he is going to go to races at the festival, he'd need to be winning here to go up a few pounds, which, again, really appeals to me. So, yeah, at this stage, he'd be the one for me.
G-Rod, I know, like I say, we haven't got the betting yet, but who are the ones that caught the eye on this for you?
I thought that Maxi had a chance again here. now, I know it takes a little bit of imagination thinking that maybe Magic Maxi might have a double on New Year's Day at Cheltenham. But imagine if it were to happen. David Maxwell has got Jatta Louis running. Absolutely loves Cheltenham, this horse. He runs all of his best races around the course, over course and distance. He finished 8th in the Potemps final, I think, a couple of years ago, which is probably just about the best piece of form on offer. Then he went hunter chasing for a little while, and then he went chasing under Magic Maxi again, and then they brought him back over hurdles last time out again over course and distance, and he ran his best race again for quite some time when returned to Cheltenham, staying on really eye-catchingly behind Captain Morgs, looking like he'd be well suited by a big field, a stronger pace, which I'm hoping he might get here. He's just the sort of horse who just loves Cheltenham. He's certain to run well. I'm not saying he's definitely going to win, but I don't think you'll go too far wrong backing him each way, because he just eats up the hill at Cheltenham. He always comes up the hill very strongly, and he just loves the course. And we've seen it time and time again at Cheltenham. Once you get these course specialists there, they can be very, very difficult to beat around there. So who knows? Maybe a Magic David Maxwell double on New Year's Day with Jatta Louis and Simply the Bets.
Jatta Louis for the Philip Hobbs team. You'd have to be a brave man to have the David Maxwell double, but I'm sure a few punters will be having that at Cheltenham. That is Cheltenham done and dusted with then. Join us in 10 seconds time where we'll get the lads' best bets elsewhere along with the naps.
Join me and an excellent panel every Saturday on Racing Post Live in association with Betfair. Tips, previews, live race reactions, and of course some raucous laughs along the way. That's Racing Post Live every Saturday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Welcome back to the final part of the postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Graham Robway and Stuart Riley. We've had the main races that we're going to be covering on the postcast, but let's get some bets elsewhere from the weekend. G-Rod, I'll start with you. What else is there elsewhere? But don't give your nap away.
Yeah, in the 135 at Warwick on Saturday, it is the Poundland Handicap Hurdle. It's like we can afford to go mad in Poundland after a good weekend, Sam. I fancy a horse called Cawthorn Lad, trained by John Joe O'Neill. Again, this is another horse that's got some good piece of form at the course. Ran his best, one of his best races at Warwick earlier in the year. He kept on very strongly that day behind a horse called Highland over 2.5 miles. I expect that he'll be well suited by going up to 3 mile 2.5 furlongs in this race. And again, he's another horse who's slowly coming down the weights, but he keeps running well, and he ran his best race for the season so far last time out at Leicester, when he was only beaten a length and a quarter, again over 2.5 miles, a trip that I'm absolutely convinced will be on the short side for him. He just got that profile of a horse who's building up to a big performance, steadily improving his RPRs as we go, and I think this might be the day when he comes good. So that's Cawthorn Lad in the 135 at Warwick on Saturday.
There we go, a full Poundland sponsored card there at Warwick on Saturday. G-Rod likes the John Joe O'Neill horse, Cawthorn Lad in the 135 there. Stuart, what have you got for us?
Mine's a slightly left field approach. Nicky Henderson has declared jet powered for the novice hurdle early on the card. It's the 1240.
Very exciting horse.
Absolutely. 1240 at Newbury on the Saturday. I just love this horse. I absolutely loved what I saw from him last time. He's 7-1 for the Supreme currently, and I do not think he will be 7-1 for the Supreme afterwards. I think he's an absolute machine. Fasal Vega is obviously towards or dominating the head of that market. It's an even money shot. I think Nicky Henderson has a hell of a record in the Supreme. Loves targeting the race. You can absolutely guarantee it's where Jet Powered will be going afterwards. And yeah, I think he's going to win well on Saturday, and I think he's going to go on to the festival at a much shorter price. So that would be my play.
There we go. Okay, yeah, Jet Powered. Looking forward to seeing him this weekend. But Stuart Ryder's just given an anti-post selection there for the Supreme at around 7-1 about Jet Powered. Right, time for the naps. And Stuart, I'll start with you. Who's going to be your best bet this weekend?
My best bet this weekend is Celebre Dalen in the 155 at Cheltenham on Sunday at 20-1 each way.
There you go, Celebre Dalen, 20-1, a decent price nap there. And G-Rod, your nap this weekend?
I'm going to go with Champagne Court at a big price, Sam. I do think that this might well have been the aim for the Mandarin Handicap Chase. Might have been the aim for Champagne Court. That's the 225. At Newbury on Saturday with Jeremy Scott and Harry Skelton teaming up. Yeah, I can't understand why this horse is such a huge price, Champagne Court.
Yeah, 225 at Newbury on Saturday. I've just seen one bookmaker actually go out to 20-1 about that. So 220-1 naps from the gents there. And like I say, that's the last postcast for this year. Bruce will be back in the new year for more postcasts. You can check out plenty, though, on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We've got Up in the Ante coming, What a Shout, and also 2 Racing Post Lives this weekend from Newbury and Cheltenham. So don't forget to join Dave Orton and the gang this weekend for that. Big Happy New Year to Graham Robway and Stuart Ryan, and a big Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you very soon.